Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you.
Always good here on Sunday nights.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. And even though we don't have a live show, sometime maybe we should do a live show. Maybe we should, like, broadcast our show on Facebook.
Do a call-in show.
No, then we'd know nobody was listening. Then that would get depressing.
We got a whole bunch of calls, though. We got a whole bunch of calls.
Well, we could probably talk 10 or 12 of our friends into calling in.
Yeah. But Planned.
But with a half-hour show, that makes it kind of tough, too.
Yeah.
If somebody really asked a question by the time we were answering it and got another call, the music would start. But anyway, let's get down to business here. So we've been doing a series of shows about serious discipleship. And if you haven't listened to the other ones, I think there's two or three now. If you go to giftofgraceministries.org, you can find them all there. And Stephen and I both think this is really an important message for our time, when the idea of discipleship has become, well, if anything, lukewarm.
Yeah.
And in some cases,
yeah,
almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, you know, if you're in the health and wealth prosperity group, you know, you don't have to even worry about it because everything's cool now. But Jesus kind of lays it out, and we used a passage from Mark chapter 8 as an example. And we probably should reread that. I think it's 34 through 38.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he set some terms and some conditions and some ideas about discipleship that I don't think that they've been changed. Or, as we said at the end of the last show, you know, there's not a discipleship 2.0 that's ever come out. And I think it's been pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's true. Jesus kind of set the standard.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that try and rewrite the standard.
Yes.
But nobody has the authority to.
Yes.
That's the key.
That is an excellent point.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And I try to do my part on the show.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have both been to a lot of churches over the course of our
earthly existence.
The last 20 years or so, 25 years or so.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how many people have, as you said, tried to revise. You know, it's kind of like when you turn your computer on and they say, do you want to review our new privacy policy?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus never says, you want to review my my new discipleship and see what you think?
Yeah. You know, there's a, even with all the translations and the different translations and the different canons of, you know, how the Bible has been put together.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some debate about what word to use,
yeah,
what fits the translation,
sure,
something like that. But to a high degree, the message is the message. It is not altered or changed.
Yes.
And it's not revised like, well, you know, we should get in there and revise the Word of God, because it's just not something that happens, because it's not man. It's God's word that was given to us through human vessels. I mean, mm-hmm, these people wrote these words down.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets in the Old Testament spoke God's word.
Mm-hmm.
The word came to them. They spoke it forth. And they were to give the word as they received it.
Yes.
Because if they didn't, they were either subtracting from it or adding to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the conditions for discipleship, we might want to change them because everybody's at a different place in their abandonment of themselves to God.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's a really key point, because when you talk about discipleship, true and authentic conversion can only happen when you abandon your heart fully to God.
Yes.
I mean, without keeping any of the anything, it's like if you're, you know, it's like you buy a 10-story or a 10-room house, and you go into 8 of the rooms and you, you know, refurnish them, you put your furniture in, but there's 2 rooms you never look in. You don't know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe one of the rooms you store a whole bunch of stuff that you don't want anybody else to see.
Yeah.
And that's really what we do with God.
Yes.
It's like, okay, Lord, well, here's this part of my heart,
because
I'm comfortable with that. But then there's this other part of my heart, because I got some things in there that I don't know. I know you wouldn't like them, but
that's
I don't want you, but I don't want you to see them either.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a person the other day, and we were talking about how habits, you know, habits can be good habits or bad habits, but we get ingrained into habits, and those habits can actually keep us from our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we really like a habit of ours that leads us, you know, maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's some other sin.
Mm-hmm.
But any sin leads us away from God.
Yes.
And to try and abandon ourselves of those sins and those habits is really a key of authentic discipleship, and what's going to allow you to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, Lord, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm going all the way.
You know, the song I Surrender, I really like that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could probably sing it. I won't.
Come on, let's
try
hear
to
it.
Sing it. But it's that's exactly the point that you're getting at.
Yeah.
Is you're supposed to do complete surrender to really mm-hmm. be a disciple.
Right.
Which is very difficult to do.
Right.
And, you know, the analogy of a house I like too, because we've talked about that before. So, you know, if you and a bunch of people come over to my house for home group or a Bible study or something, and I say, oh, just make yourself at home, I don't really mean that. Because
yeah.
if somebody said, I'm going to go upstairs and see what's in that middle bathroom, you say, oh, no, I don't want you going up there. Or, I got to go check that closet upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't want you opening that door. Because
yeah.
when I say make yourself at home, I mean stay in this room. Don't go anywhere. Because stuff is secret.
Is that what's going on when I came over here?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't understand.
That's why I put the gate up on the steps. But, you know, and we all do this, you
yeah.
know, we're not saying that you guys don't do it, but Steve and I do because
yeah.
we all do this.
We do. Yeah.
We say, well, we're, you know, we want to completely surrender, but we don't really want to completely surrender everything.
And part of that is people's own fear.
Yes, of course.
You know, there's humility, there's false humility. A lot of times you see where somebody has a gift or talent or they're being called by the Lord and everybody can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're questioning it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, not me. And is it a sense of, well, they're discerning it? Or is mm-hmm. it really they're afraid?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when people have fear and they respond to things out of fear because that's what happened to them when they were young, inner healing is something that's really good for everyone to try and
mm-hmm.
encounter because the Lord really can set you free
sure.
to be the person he created you to be. Because when you don't operate out of fear, you're free to move forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you operate out of fear, you retract.
Yes.
And you try to close things off. And then you know, it manifests into other things that are very divisive in the body of Christ mm-hmm. and in society as
yeah.
general. But when Jesus says in this passage from Mark, and I'll read it now,
yeah.
he says, he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's what he's saying there is if you come to him and you want to be a disciple, you're not just making some minor changes in your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying, well, now on Sunday mornings I go to church. I didn't used to always go, but now I always go. So how do you like that? No, it's so much more. He says you have to deny yourself. You have to, we'll talk about take up the cross, and I think we did some last week too, but yeah. This is not a few adjustments to your lifestyle. It's not some supplemental thing where you say, well, you know, I read the Bible for about 10 minutes every morning and it makes me feel better for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. So I found that that kind of improves my overall well-being. That's not what it's about.
Right.
That you're supposed to deny yourself because it's not about you.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you go to church in a basketball stadium, you know, field house with 30,000 people, and the only messages you get is how it's all about you, that's not discipleship because you're supposed to deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
You may be blessed with a great job and you may be blessed with a great income, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not immoral to have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's not immoral to have a nice job, and it's not immoral to, if you want to buy yourself a nice car. But you have to understand that these things are blessings that you get. Mm-hmm. It's not about you.
Yeah.
He says you have to deny yourself. He's not some supplemental thing that comes into your life. And you say, yeah, ever since I started thinking about Jesus, you know, I really feel better emotionally. Well, that's nice, and you will feel better emotionally, but everything has to be brought under his authority.
Yeah.
And this is what he's getting at this passage, because there's a transformation that has to occur.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of you want to follow, to do his will, you want to bear fruit, and if that's what you're interested in, you think less and less about yourself.
Right.
Like when John the Baptist said, I have to decrease so he can increase.
Right.
Because we're supposed to reflect him. So when you encounter people, if they can't tell you're a believer,
mm-hmm.
then something's wrong.
Right.
If you say, well, I'm going to go hang out with those guys again like I always did, and you know, I'm going to curse and drink and do all the stuff, and if I start telling them about this Jesus thing, they're going to think I'm whacked out.
Right.
Well, right. You're not going to get much fruit out of that tree.
Yeah, if somebody talks to you for, you know, a good amount of time and they have no idea that you're a follower of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
then you're not living the gospel. They should be able to see it just in your, how you carry yourself.
Yes.
In your mannerisms, even in the, and even in the way that you present yourself and the words that you speak. As you were saying that, you know, that self-renunciation or that, denying of self,
mm-hmm.
it's denying your own passions and your mm-hmm. own desires.
Mm-hmm.
And really, St. Thomas Aquinas would talk about this, but, you know, it would be about, like what is beautiful and what makes something beautiful, and does it glory, you know, really does it find its origin in God? Because that, if it doesn't, then the beauty of it diminishes,
mm-hmm.
because God's the creator of the universe and everything that God creates is good.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has tainted everything with sin.
Yes.
So there's a desire in discipleship. You have to have the desire to want to become like the master,
mm-hmm.
and not supplement yourself with your own ideas and go, and you know, with this Jesus thing, he had some good ideas. So I'm going to take what I've got here and then I'm going to add what he has over here and I'm going to mix them all together.
Add a few of his.
I'm going to mix them all together because yeah. most of the time, and we've talked about this, most of the times when we, before we come to Christ, our faith in Christ, and we're really following the Lord, we pick up a lot of stuff from the world that we think is okay.
Sure.
And then we want to Christianize it, mm-hmm. and go, well, this is okay, right, Lord? Please tell me that it is, because I really like some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then slowly, if you're really, you know, if you're really honest, the Lord might show you that, no, that really leads you away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this denying of self is really about. It's like,
yeah.
what leads me to the Lord and what leads me away from the Lord?
Yeah.
And to remove those things so that I am fully abandoned to him.
Yeah. And as we talked some last week, this idea of taking up your cross, this would have been painfully a very painful thing to say to the people that were listening to him, because they knew about crosses.
Right.
I mean, we know about crosses, but, you know, we don't see anybody now who's about to be crucified.
Right.
It does happen in some parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're lamenting the fact that we have a runny nose or a sore foot, our brothers and sisters are being crucified.
Right.
Even children.
Yeah.
But when these guys heard him say, take up your cross and follow me, this would have sent shivers down their spine, because they knew that this was a horrendous suffering, and then you were going to die. And what he's saying, and Paul picks this up in many places, where Paul says, you know, my old self has been crucified. It's not my old self that lives anymore. You know, I used to live in the flesh. That's been crucified. Now, that doesn't mean that you're never going to sin. It doesn't mean that you're ever going to fall. But your old self, in order to be a disciple, has to be crucified. And the emphasis cannot be on yourself, like we hear from so many churches now. Mm-hmm. It's not about us. And he clearly says that in this passage in Mark. And that's never been rescinded. It's never been changed. And as we said, there's not a discipleship 2.0. It's still the same 1.0.
Yeah.
And we've been bought with a price, as we talked about a little bit last week, whereas we're not our own because we've been bought with a price.
Yeah. You know, in some circles, in some areas, it's God is like a candy store. What can I get? What are you going to give me?
Yeah.
What can I get from God?
Yeah.
And it's quite the opposite. With discipleship is, what am I going to give God?
Yes.
And what do I freely want to allow him to take away from me that's not healthy, you know, that's not good for me spiritually?
It has to change how we view our lives.
Yeah.
If you're a disciple, like you say, you don't say, hey, that's a pretty good idea, I'll think about what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's a surrender in the sense that we change how we view our lives. And now you start to see your life in the scope of eternity.
Right.
Whereas maybe before you were seeing your life, you know, when you were a teenager, which shouldn't really count because nobody thinks normally when they're a teenager.
We might think so when we're that age, but usually not. Yeah.
Yeah. We think that we know everything anyway. But, you know, when you're a young person, you think in terms of, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a job. You know, I'm going to get married. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then, you know, by the time I'm 50 years old, I'm going to be rich. And then I'm going to move to, you know, Arizona and live on a golf course, or, you know, you have goals like that.
Yeah.
When you become a disciple, you see your life in light of eternity.
Yeah.
And you see your life in the scope of not only when I go into eternity, but also to affecting the people around me and how they think about going into eternity.
Right.
Because that's the Great Commission.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about the passage from Isaiah 55 where it says, you know, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the sinners their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord to find mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Mm. And you know, when Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan,
mm-hmm.
you're thinking as humans, as a human being does and not as God does.
Yes.
When we get into the intellectual, debate of, but when we look at it intellectually with our thought pattern and how God thinks, Isaiah's telling us, or God's telling Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Right.
My ways are much mm-hmm. higher than your ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus is telling Peter this, I mean, that's a strong rebuke.
Yes.
Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as a human being does and not as God does.
Yes. You become an obstacle.
Yeah, you're becoming an obstacle. So when we think we can outsmart God, or we think that we have it really figured out, there are things that we do understand about God.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always superior to us.
Yes. That's why he says, you know, you may lose your life for me and for mm-hmm. my gospel. You might. You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there were more martyrs in the 20th century than all the other centuries combined. and that's still going on through into the 21st century, mm-hmm. you may lose your life for the gospel.
Yeah.
But if you deny him, if you deny the gospel, if you deny his word, then he makes this amazing statement of, oh, I'm going to deny you when I come in my glory. You know, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to church every Sunday? Well, that's nice, but I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And so he's basically telling these guys, you have a choice. You can have honor and fame and glory and all kinds of stuff now and have shame later after you die, after I come back, or you can suffer now and have the shame now and surrender now so you can have honor and glory later. It's mm-hmm. your choice. And, you know, as you go through discipleship in this life and you don't know where that's going to lead.
Right.
I mean, you could end up in a prison camp. You could end up in preaching in Las Vegas. You could end up preaching in Bolivia. I mean, you don't know exactly where you're going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing for sure is when you've done what he wants you to do, and you go into eternity, and even though there's no time there, of course there's no time there, but you can imagine after a billion years go by, are you going to remember that really bad day you had in Bolivia? No. Are you going to remember the horrible time that the guy threw a rock at you and broke your shoulder? Mm-hmm. No. You're only going to remember that you did what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because what you want him to say is, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Not, you know, if he says to you, I really wanted you to do this and you never did it. And I really wanted you to also do this other thing and you wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Yeah.
And so we have a different view of life. Because now once we're changed and we have this metanoia and we have a transformed heart, we see that he's the focus now of our life.
Right.
He's not an addition. He's not a supplementation.
Yeah, he's not a supplement.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not something like, oh, I went on vacation for a weekend and I felt better kind of thing. Or yeah. I listened to some tapes on positive thinking and now I feel better. No, you realize he's the focus and that this is, you know, if your idea is, well, I have my stuff and I have my plans,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to surrender.
Right.
But when you look and say, I can't believe he did this for me. I can't believe I didn't think about this before. Yeah. And now he's the focus of my life. We accept that and we agree with that because grace allows us to do that.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you been in a meeting, you know, and people go, okay, well, let's create this plan.
Yeah.
And they do all this work and then they go, okay, Lord, bless this.
Exactly.
And there's never a prayer to say, or to invite the Holy Spirit or God in and say, Lord,
yes.
Show us what we're supposed to do. Reveal it to us. It's really not, we're not operating on a spiritual dimension or principles. But from Matthew 7, where he says, true disciples, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do we not drive out demons in your name? Do we not do mighty deeds in your name? Then I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.
Yeah.
I mean, those are...
Yeah.
Man.
Yes. And then I think later on, doesn't he talk about how you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and everybody having dinner and you're going to be outside?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to be able to get into the kingdom.
Yeah, you're not going to get into the banquet.
Yeah, I mean, there's many passages in Scripture where Jesus sternly tells and warns people. I mean, discipleship is not something that we're supposed to take lightly. Our relationship with Christ is not something we're supposed to take half-heartedly.
Because it's a radical, knowing Jesus is such a radical thing that happens in your life.
Yeah.
That everything changes then.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe the music's playing.
I know.
I haven't even gotten in my notes. Well, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Well, we'll pray for extra time next week for some more notes. And we pray that you would just, if you're desiring a deeper relationship with the Lord, to truly be his disciple, then ask him to come into your life, show you the things that are not of him, and to unite him with his will and the will of the Father. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.